Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Aleph. We are towards the beginning. Perek Lamed Aleph, the last Perek in Mishle. Last Perek, we are up to Pasik Dalet. Al Lamelochim Limoel. Al Lamelochim Shesoyayin Ulroznim E Shechar. This is a continuation. It's the third pasuk, third of a series of psukim of Basheva, the one who is assumed to be the author of these psukim is the mother of Shlomo HaMelech. She is criticizing her son. The major theme of the beginning of the parak is criticizing her son. Why have you indulged? Have you not listened to Hashem's words? Hashem has told you not to take more than 18 wives, not to have too much gold and silver, not to have too many horses. And you don't seem to get the message. And this is the source of all your problems. And here she is giving him Musar. And just to review some of the ideas, she said to him, Rashi explained that everyone knows your father, David HaMelech, was a tzaddik yisod olam. A tzaddik that has not done anything wrong. And if his children do not follow in his righteous ways, they will assume it's not his fault. It must be the bad genes come from the mother. And they're going to blame me. I am the cause of your evil ways. So therefore, my son, I beg you, don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass me. Don't cause me shame. And we had that theme multiple times in Sefer Mishle, where when a child does things which are not proper, it's an embarrassment to the mother. And here, just to review the psukim, we'll just go back to Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis, Mar Bari, Mar Bar Bitni, Meb Bar Nidori. She said, "In my son, what have you done? You are the product. You are my son. You are the product of my womb. You are the product of my vows. You are my, which we interpreted to mean that you are the one that I have raised. My son, meaning that I have raised you. Number two, you are my biological child. It's not just that you are my stepson. I actually gave birth to you. And the third expression, we have different interpretations of Rashi and the Masudas, is that when I was pregnant with you, I took vows. I took upon myself extra chumras as zuchuyos, merits that you should turn out well. I took a vow that to do certain things, so you should be a Talmud Chacham and you should be healthy. And now look what you have doing to me. You are embarrassing me." Here she actually addresses his main sin. Do not take too many wives. Don't give to a woman your strength. Meaning, do not have too many marital relations. We were learning in the Sudos. Uderachechol limchoitz melachin, and your ways shall not be done in a fashion that will cause limchoitz to erase. Melachin means the proper conduct of a king. A king has to be a model for society, and your conduct is not proper. Pasuk Dalet al le lamelachim limoel. It's not proper. We'll read the Mitzvahs in one moment. It's not proper for a king that is towards God, towards Hashem, to behave in such a manner. Al lamelachim shesoyayin. It's not proper for a king to drink wine. Ulerosnim a tzekivach sif. It's spelled alava, but it's read a sheikhar. It's not proper to drink strong wine. Sheikhar is intoxicating beverage, alcoholic beverage. Yayin can mean just fresh wine, wine that tastes good, but it's not necessarily. Grape juice. Okay, let's see the pasuk dal in the mitzvah stuff. Pasuk dal al lamalachim limuel ein davar zehogun lamalachim asher hema el Hashem umeshicho. So according to the mitzvah, we did this actually last time, that lam limuel is a contraction of two words that who are towards Hakadosh Baruch Hu, el Hashem. El Hashem, Lamo. Lamo means towards. Lamo is the equivalent to the word El. So it's not proper that king who is devoted, Lam Lo El, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is devoted to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be the Mashiach Hashem, to behave in such a manner. Then the Nitzuda says, Al Lamalachim, Ein Hagun Lamalachim Ke'ele. It's not proper for kings such as these who are dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shesos, to drink Yayin Rav. Rav Yayin, an abundance of wine, Ulerozdim lawgivers. Roizdim a lawgivers, Ke'ele, Al Roy, it's not proper, Sheikhar, the Chofal Hadavar, Bemiloy Shoinas. Rashi, Pasik Dalid, Al Lamelachim limoel. It's not proper for a king that is dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had this before. Ein zeh davar hagun limolachim sheheim leHaKadosh Baruch Hu limoel kmo lamo. Lamo means towards. Lamo p means towards. I'm not sure what the word p means. Lamo p means, I think it means the two words go together, towards. It's not proper for a king who has been devoted to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu to behave in such a fashion, to drink too much wine and too much this. So this is a second criticism that his mother is giving him. The first pasuk, pasuk gimel, was you have married too many wives. And number pasuk dalet is telling him that you are indulging in the pleasures of this world more than you should. Okay, now there are a number of midrashim. Before we go further, there's one beautiful midrash which I forgot to mention last week. It's in Bamidbar Rabbah, and it says quite a bit. It says that Shlomo HaMelech Sach HaKol has seven names. Now that we learned this pasuk, we finally concluded all seven names of Shlomo. Everyone knows the name of Shlomo, Koheles, and Yedidya. In Sefer Shmuel, when Shlomo was born, David called him Yedidya, which is Mitzrikin, the Yedid Hashem, the beloved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Shlomo, we don't have to mention, everyone knows his name was Shlomo. And Koheles, Divrei Koheles, Sefer Koheles is called Koheles. But here, now that we've learned these last couple of Pesukim, Perek Lamed and Perek Lamed Aleph, we have been introduced to four more names. Number one was Agur. He's called Agur. Then he's also called Ben Yokeh. It's like a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, where you take a name and we interpret all the different types, all the different references in reference to one person. There's the person called Agur. This goes back to Perek Lamed. In the very beginning of Perek Lamed, Divrei Agur ben Yokeh Hamason Neum Hagever Li'isiel Ve'uchol. So that pasuk there, we had different interpretations. Some learned that it's the name of a person who's a colleague, a rebbe, a student of Shlomo. But according to both Rashi and the Mitzudos, that pasuk are just code names for Shlomo HaMelech himself. Agur means he gathered all of the Torah knowledge that existed. All Chochmah that existed was collected. And Ben Yokeh was also a name for Shlomo, which means that he spit it out. He vomited out his Torah because he made mistakes. What were the mistakes? He did not follow the rules of a king. He married too many wives, too much gold and silver, too many horses, and he spit out his Torah. Limuel. Then the Medrash is jumping here to Perek Lamed Aleph, what we just learned. Pasuk Dalid is where it says Limuel, and Pasuk Aleph also, Pasuk Aleph, and Pasuk repeats the name, same name twice, is the third name, Limuel, and then the next name is Isiel. It's going back to Perek Lamed Isiel. So grand total of four names. Now then the Medrash goes further to say that from all of these four names, the Ikur is the three, Yedidya, Koheles and Shlomo. Why are those the Ikarim? Because those leave us off with a good taste. See, the Medrash is a little bit is positive. Don't walk away from Shlomo HaMelech with a bad taste that he was an evil person. The Gemara says, the Sanhedrin wanted to say about him that he does not have a chelek in Olam Haba. Because it says that he worshipped idols. He was tolerant of Avodah Zarah. And Shlomo HaMelech, he came to them in a dream, and he prevented them from saying such a horrible thing. But what's very frightening is, the majority of his names, according to this Medrash, are interpreted in the negative. All these names, the other four names, Medrash goes on to say, Agur and Yokeh, Agur really by itself is something positive. It means he collected Divrei Torah. I don't know why, but the Medrash seems to say the word Agur is not a very positive word for collection. There are many words to allude to a collection, but some words are better than others. Koheles, that's a very pleasant word. It means the collection of knowledge is secure, it's stable, it's strong. Agur seems, according to the Medrash, to have a connotation that it's loose. It's a loose collection which can easily be lost. And indeed, in this reference, being that the next name is called Ben Yokeh. Yokeh means to spit out, to vomit out, to expel. Shlomo HaMelech lost his chokhmah because of his averos, and that causes us to understand agur means it was never really collected either. The fact that he had attained this great body of knowledge was not significant because it was done at a time when he was nichshol in the words of Moshe, not listening, not
collected the knowledge, but it was without Yerushalayim.
Right, so it's not, that's what it means. Agur is a collection that's not done with the right intent. It's not done. I don't know why that word is different than any other word, but that's how the Medrash, what the Medrash says. And obviously, the other word is Lemuel. Now, why is Lemuel the negative? So here's a new interpretation, because we are translated, according to Rashi and the Mitzvot, Lomo, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But according to the Medrash, Lemuel means Omar. Mem, the Aleph is missing, and the mem is the main syllable of the word Omar. Omar Kel. Shlomo HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am an exception to your Torah. I can do whatever I want, and I will not make mistakes. I can marry more wives, I can take more gold and silver, I can have more horses, and nothing will help. That's how the Medrash interprets the word
for his own purposes.
For his own, but not, he's not, whatever, that Tashem, so don't marry too many wives because they're going to sway your heart. So Lemuel, which according to the Medrash, he says, I, Nom Kel, the exact words of the Medrash are, Nom Kel. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Yochilno Laharbos Noshim V'lo Lachato. I'll take more wives and nothing is going to happen to me. Okay, and the last one is the same we learned before, ECL, which also is a statement of arrogance. ETKEL, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me, and nothing will happen. I will can do whatever I want, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not depart from me. So the only difference, the only thing that we are opening up in this Medrash is, Sach HaKol, there are seven names to Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, three that are positive, four that are negative. We take out of the Medrash a new translation for Lemuel. Not only does it mean what Rashi on the Mitzvah says, Lomo Kel, Al Derech Pshat, but Al Derech Jush, it means Omar Kel. Shlomo spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from the context we learn, he said, I'll do whatever I want and nothing's going to happen to me. Of course he Yerush Man. Of course he did. He was the Chacham. But on Chazal are super, super magnifying minor defects. This is the way of Tanakh. Tanakh super, super magnifies teeny microscopic defects for us to learn from. We can't even, it's not possible to even fathom the greatness of Shlomo HaMelech. But these teeny, teeny minor... What? There's no such thing as not making a mistake. The only difference is how do you deal with your mistakes. All politicians are only getting into trouble because of the cover-up. That's not... What?
Go into a river in Egypt.
Cover-up is always the problem. It's how you deal with mistakes. The difference
between... The way agur is used in the Torah, the only time is not so yev agur. It's pent up. God's anger is pent up. That's what it means.
So
yev agur. It's negative terminology.
But there, when it's agur, Hashem says that Hashem is very easy. It's very good.
Yeah.
Hashem is very easy to forgive. Hashem is maver al midaisav. So Ramievsky is saying something very important. The way where agur is used in the Torah is in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has collected anger against Klal Yisrael. We know that it's very easy for Hashem to be Meichel. So you see the word agur means is a collection, a weak collection. And the way the Medrash is interpreting the fourth name agur in reference to Shlomo is that his chokhmah was weak. Why? Because the Chachma was acquired at a time when he felt that he's above HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not restricted by the laws of the Torah.
There's a also
lufum tzara is reward. That's a whole different word. Agra is agra or gur, a collection of reward. Okay, so there, obviously, it means there it's a secure collection. All right, I just wanted to point out that very interesting medrash. Seven names. We know Chazal tells us that a person has multiple names. The name a person is given by his parents, the name he is called by his friends, and the name that he makes for himself. Three names. Those are your three major names. Yet over here, we have seven names. We have seven different names for Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, the next idea is, there's a Gemara, everyone knows, this is a very well-known Gemara, Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Amud Beis. Why is Shlomo HaMelech's mother giving him Musa with the words, Uleroizdim a Sheikhar? Because the word Rozdim means secrets, Roz. And part of his mother's criticism was, can it be a person to whom all the secrets of the world, me, Shekol, Roze Oilam Giluyim Lo, Yishte Yayin Vyishtak, you need to get involved in this nonsense and to drink too much wine and get drunk and intoxicated? Look at the bracha. This is a very powerful Masrach. You, Shlomo HaMelech, you have been given the gifts, everything you can possibly want. What more? How many people in the world would trade place with you in a heartbeat? So what do you need? What do you need to get involved in this narishkeit, in drinking, in getting, in overindulging in the pleasures of this world, which you know will only lead you to be nichshol in others? And this is a very powerful limud musar, because everyone in their world has special bracha that anyone, that a million people in the world will be willing to trade in a heartbeat for that bracha. So if you have this bracha, you have a gift, so you have a responsibility. So why are people foolish to abuse the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given for fleeting pleasure in this world? And that's the message. You have to get involved and do foolish things and drink wine. Okay. Then the Gemara has another halacha. The Gemara says, another halacha in Sanhedrin, daf mem beis, from this pasuk. Okay, this pasuk is one of the sources that a dayan is not allowed to drink yayin on the day when he sits in court. It is forbidden. It is forbidden. Why? Ulerozdim means a ruler. A ruler means a dayan. Doesn't say this anywhere in the Torah. Where in the Torah does it say that a dayan can't drink when he passes halacha? Nowhere. There's halacha that we're kohen when he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, yayin v'sheikh v'alteish when you go into the Beis HaMikdash. But where does it say that a dayan is not allowed to drink? No, no makar. So the Gemara says it's a halacha, it's a dinder, I don't know if it's a halacha of Moshe Sinai, but they base it upon this pasuk in Mishlei, ula roznim, a person who is a lawgiver. A roznim is another term for a judge. It's a judge. A judge knows all the secrets of the Torah. I guess that's what it's related to. A sheikhar. A means not. A sheikhar, you may not drink wine. Interesting, I was learning yesterday the laws. I was learning some Mishnah Berurah yesterday. And the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion. And you say in Asher Yotzar, is it she'e efshar lehiskayim v'lamol lefonecha? Or is it she'e efshar lehiskayim? The Mishnah Berurah seems to lean towards the gears of she'e efshar. Because A means not. A means not. I think all of our siddurim say E. She'e.
What's the difference in terms of
she? So E kavod is, there are much more references in Tanakh of A than E.
Right. Okay.
So therefore, if the nusach of a bracha, l'chayra follows the majority.
Yeah, but the translation of the word is the same.
Right, in a it's the same translation. E kavod, the only example the Mishnah quotes is E kavod. What? Ayin, which means the absence. This means nothing. The only example it gives is E kavod. I think that's one of the only places where E kavod means there is no one of the name of the people in Shreftim. E kavod. E kavod, there is no honor. E kavod. So E, of course, means not. But there are more references in Tanakh of A, to pronounce it A, which A means not. Here is just one example. A sheikhar. A roiznim, talmidei chacham, or oisik in piskei halacha, are not allowed to indulge in sheikhar, intoxicating beverage, when they sit in judgment, because obviously they're going to lose control. You're not going to be able to properly decide halacha. We all know that DWI, driving while intoxicated. They have no, it's very frightening. The threshold is very high. you know, you lot, what?
At A, you also have, I guess this must be Greek, asymmetrical, anomalous.
Not A, okay. So it has to come from Tanakh in a Hanami.
Right.
All right, but in best case, I want to put it out. So over here, that's, this is the source of that halacha. Okay, okay, let's go to the next pasuk. It's a continuation of this thing. Pen, now here, his mother says to him, why do I demand of you that you should not drink wine? Because pen yishte v'yishkach mechukok, lest you drink intoxicating beverage and you'll forget mechukok. What's mechukok? The law. The chokek, we'll see in a moment, it means it's a code word for the Torah, the word the yishaneh, and you will pervert, you will change the din kol b'nei oni, the law of the poor, humble people. When a poor man comes to court with a complaint against someone who has caused him harm, you will not properly understand his situation, and you will not give him what he deserves. Let's see the mitzudos pasuk hey, pen yishte, pen kisha yishte v'yishkach davar ha-chokuk b'torah, you will drink and you will forget something that's chokuk, something that is etched. Okay, it's a code word for what's etched in the Torah. V'ayidei zeh yishana din ho-aniyim, you will pervert the law of the aniyim. V'chufula uchefula imkein chataso, and your sin will be double. What's the double? Ki goizel ho-aniyim u-me'uves ha-din. Number one, you have corrupted the din. That itself is a form of sin. And number two, you've caused harm to the poor man, not giving him what he rightfully deserves. Rashi says, the same thing, mechokeg is ha-kosta b'torach, v'kol shukein mashuhu, ha-kosta b'torach, mashuhu b'girsa. I'm sorry, Michoy Cake, Hakosov Bitoira, the Kolsh, the Kolsh, you'll forget what you have studied. Masha, Begirsa, I'm not sure what that means. It means whatever you've seen in tradition. Girsa means maybe the tradition. You'll forget what's written in the Torah itself, and you'll certainly forget what has been passed on through tradition.
What do you call it?
Torah Shebal Peh.
Torah Shebal Peh.
Masha, Kosav, Mashu, Begirsa. Girsa means what is, Girsa means the Torah Shebal Peh. So you'll even come to make mistakes that are explicitly written in the Torah. Forget about making mistakes in the esoteric things, but even the verb shutim. Now there's another medrash that says that the word chokuk is mem ches kaf is the gematria. Let me see, we'll show which form of the word, make sure of the right form of the word is ramach mechukok 200. Right, 248. Yeah, 248. It refers to the mitzvahs asay. If a person is yishte, if a person is too involved in the pleasures of this world, yishkach mechukok, you'll forget all of the mitzvahs asay. You'll not have your head on straight. Mechukok b'zbigmatria reish mem ches ramach mitzvahs.
Get off of Halavino.
Yeah, what about him?
Also.
Okay. There are many girsos. I'm not gematria. I'm not a big gematria person, but just it's mentioned over here, so I wanted to mention it. Okay. There's another interesting medrash. Let me quote. There are two fascinating medrash, if I remember them correctly. Okay, one thing at a time. First, we have over here a medrash in Bamidbar Rabba. The medrash in Bamidbar Rabba says, first it says Michukok is a code for Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi and the Mitzudah simply said Michukok means the law. The law is etched into stone, etched onto parchment. But Michukok also refers to the law giver. And in Tanakh, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Kisham, pasuk in Hazinu. Kisham Chelkak Moshe Rabbeinu was buried on the Eiver HaYarden, and that's where B'nai God and B'nai Ruvain wanted to take their portion. Kisham there, Chelkas, the portion, Mechoykek Sofun, the portion of the lawgiver. Mechakek is buried. Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in Be'ever HaYarden, and that's why Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben wanted to be buried on Be'ever HaYarden, not only because they wanted pasture land for their animal, they wanted to be buried in the vicinity of the portion of the lawgiver. From this pasuk, we learn that the word Mechakek is a code word for Moshe Rabbeinu, and we take that idea, we plug it into the pasuk. It's telling us that if you drink too much wine, the Yishkach, you will forget, Mechukok, you will forget the Torah that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, then when the pasuk goes on to say V'yishane din kol b'nei oini, you'll forget the din of the b'nei oini. Now, what does that mean? So here we have a very interesting measure. The measure says that Torah is compared to the kima and the akraf. Now, where is it compared to the kima and the akraf? Now, kima and the akraf are two constellations. Okay, two. Now, where is it? Where do we find the makar for this? The kima and the akrav. I apologize. I didn't prepare this too well.
Where is that?
Bamidbar Rabba, Perik Yud, section Ches. Ze Moshe Kisham Ches Bechav Yishane Din Kol Bnei Oni Lama Elofi Shayayin VeHadas Nimshu Kikima VeAkrav. Okay, there are two. Let's give you the basic Rashi Prakim. There are two constellations in the sky, one called Kima, one called Akrav, and these two constellations never appear together. They are mutually exclusive. Okay, this is the Mitzvah. I have no idea how these things work. Astrology, astronomy, all these interesting things. But these two constellations do not work. So Chazal say that Das, knowledge, and Yayin, one is compared to Kima, and one is compared to the Akrav. Meaning the two do not go, they do not mix. If a person is in a state of intoxication, there's no way he can possibly be fully in control of his mind. If a person is fully in control of his mind, there is no way he can possibly be under the influence of alcohol. These two things are mutually exclusive. These two, and that's what the pasuk alludes to. If you're going to drink, his mother says to him, you're going to drink, forget it. You're not going to be able to concentrate and be prepared. Okay, now there's another medrash. The mother another medrash says, call, everyone is familiar with the Chazal, call haroya soita bilkilkula yazir atzmai miyayin. Anyone that happened to be in the Beis Hamikdash on the day when the soda was brought forth, and they gave her to drink, and they saw how she was, that she was disgraced by having her hair uncovered, her clothing ripped, and drink the yayin and reading the klalos. So he realized, how did such a thing happen? How does it happen? A person comes to realization, how does it happen? A woman would want to be nichshol in a terrible avera of being of arayos. It's because she had a desire for the good things in life. And when that gets out of control, it can go to the extreme of even doing the worst avera. So the Medrash says that this pasuk really alludes to that thing, because what happens, it's not just happening when a woman is nichshol, what happens? She can become pregnant. And if she becomes pregnant from arayos, who then is the child? The child is illegitimate. The real father of the child can be someone else. But what will happen ultimately? The woman will conceal her sin and will make believe that the child that she conceived in sin is the child of her husband. And then the day will come when her husband will go to the Olam HaEmes and he'll leave over a big Yerusha. And who is going to get the Yerusha? They're going to divide it among all of the children. Who are the children? Whoever the other children are. There are five children, there are five sons, so they'll divide the Yerusha equally. But one of those children is illegitimate. One of those children is not really the child of the father. And what is he taking? One-fifth of the Yerusha. If there's a Bukhar, he'll take less. He'll take a sixth of the Yerusha. It's not fair. It's not fair. That's what this pasuk says according to the Medrash. A person indulges in ipen yishte. Person gets too carried away and starts drinking wine. The yishkach michu kok, he will lose the appreciation of the discipline of the Torah, of the musar of the Torah, and then one thing will lead to another. He'll do one avera, another avera. The averos will take on a life of its own. He'll be swept away and be nichshol in the worst averas possible. He'll father mamzerim, and then those mamzerim will end up taking money that does not belong to them. The yeshane din kol b'nei oni, it will then cause the children, children who are poor, they are relying upon the inheritance of their father to survive. Their inheritance will be denied secretly because they have another brother who's taking part of the Yerusha, taking away what was meant for them. And he's illegitimate, and he's not really entitled to that piece of the Yerusha. So that's how far, that is how far it goes. There are consequences. An Avera takes on a life of its own, and down the line, it causes multiple problems. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. We'll come back. There's one more mention I want to mention. I will come back to in a moment. Let's go see for pasuk vav tenu shechar lo eved, very well known pasuk. Give shechar to lo eved, to the one who is destroyed. There are multiple translations for who the eved is. The yayin lemorei nafesh, wine to a person who's bitter. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk vav lo eved lemishu avud beroy v'ayni, a person who has been destroyed in poverty. Lemorei nefesh, someone who is bitter. Give yayin lemorei nefesh lemishu nafshe mora lo ba'avur merivas ha'omol v'yagid, a person who is marbis ha'omol v'yagid, a person due to suffering, affliction, torture, a person who suffers very much. Give him some wine to calm down. Pasuk goes on, the Silasi Pasuk Zayin together, Yishtev and Yishkach, we show, let these two people, the Oved and the Mori Nefesh, let them drink the Shechar, let them drink the Yayin, and they'll forget Risha. Risha comes of Rosh. Rosh means poverty. Poverty. It's ironic that one of the richest people in America is Rosh Limbaugh. He's one of the richest people in America. And Rosh means dirt poor.
Those are in Russia.
What? Doesn't that in Russia? That's not in Russia with an ayin. No. There's no ayin. With an ayin. What? Doesn't say with an ayin. Doesn't say. Some people say that Russia is a tzaddik yisad olam, right? He's the champion of conservatism. But the Yishkach Rosh, he will forget his poverty. Yishte.
Why does everybody pick on Rosh?
The Yishte, the Yishkach Risha, he will drink the Yishkach Risha and forget his poverty. The Amoloi lo Yiskarot, and his Amoloi, his toil, his labor by drinking the yayin will not be remembered anymore. So it's Zeluma said the first part of the pasuk is Risha, it refers to the Oivet, and the Amoloi refers to the Mori Nefesh by drinking the yayin will not lo Yiskarot, will not remember it anymore. Let's see in the Mitzvot Pasuk Zayin, Yishtek Yikasha Yishta Yishtaker, when he drinks he'll become intoxicated. The Yishkach Risha will forget his poverty. The Onyoy and his poor state of being. The Amlasher Ahamar Lenafshay Lo Yizkar Oid Ba the Eist Has Shichrus, at the time of his intoxication. Ki Yain Meifik Atzad, the Yain dilutes his pain. Rashi, who is called the Oyved? The Oyved is Lemisha Soifoy Leavoid Lerushim. So Rashi is giving us an entirely new interpretation. Rashi is saying, Chazal said that Yain was only given to the wicked in order to pay them for their good deeds in this world. Okay, let's take a step back. According to the Mitzvot, we'll discuss over your personal suffering. And we're giving him wine as a means to soothe his pain. Rashi is saying, no, we're not dealing with a person who's suffering. We're dealing with a person who's a Rasha, an evil, good-for-nothing, who has caused terrible harm in this world. And he, Hashem, wants to pay off his good deeds, his few good deeds in this world. So him, give him the Shechar. Shechar is a metaphor. Give him what the best that the world has to offer. The delicacies, the delights, the good life. Give it to him. Let him enjoy this world so that there's nothing left for him to enjoy in the next world. So the Oyved is not a person who's suffering. It's a person that will suffer, the person that will suffer in the next world, lemisha soifoy leavoid lirishoyim, the one that's ultimately going to suffer, who is that referring to? Kama lirishoyim, to the wicked people. Lemori hanefesh, shamitzdarim, and then the pasuk says, according to Rashi, an entirely different thing, give yayin, lemori nefesh, hamitzdarim, al onyam v'al evlam, the people that have tsar upon their poverty and their mourning. Okay, that concludes this. Right. So this is one of the makaros, because what is yain? Yain, we associate in our day and age, yain is something that you drink for happiness, but it's definitely not so. Yain is a stimulant, and it can be used to enhance the mood you're trying to achieve. If a person is trying to achieve happiness, yayin enhances your ability to achieve simcha. If a person wants comfort, so yayin is a means, a tool to help you achieve. Yayin by itself is a tool. It's not a magic drug. It's not something you do. You take, you ingest, and that's it. And now you're in a different frame of mind. It's just a tool, but you have to apply yourself. You have to apply yourself with other means to achieve your goal, and use yayin as a means. And that's why we, in Echnanba, it used to be in ancient times, they actually gave the Avelim 10 cups of wine. We only drink at the Aseder 4 cups of wine. But at a funeral, it was given to the Avelim 10 cups of wine. For the four, they made four, they made, after each one of the brachos of the Birchas HaMazon, they made the Bar Pi HaGafen, and then there were four cups of wine, four brachos that were said in the base. So I don't know, all the total of 10. And the Gemara says they used to even give more. But then
they got up to 14, that's what they called it quit.
They said it's going too far here, so they said let's just limit it to 10 cups of wine. It was a technique to enhance a person's mood. Okay, now there's a vod. I told this to you vod a few times. I apologize if you heard it before. The vod from the Reish Rav. The Reish Rav is medayik on the word tenu. It's a Jewish. The Reish Rav says he compares this pasuk tenu sheicha lo oivid v'yayin lemori nefesh to the pasuk by the nazir v'achar kein yishte hanazir yayin. Why by the nazir does it say yishte? He shall drink. It does not make any mention that someone shall give him the wine. And here it says tenu. Someone shall hand the cup of wine to the oivet. So the Reish Rav says that if this is really the way it was in ancient times, is that when a person drinks besimcha, when you take wine as a tool of achieving simcha, you take it yourself. No one gives it to you. Kais Yeshua's Essa, the cup of salvation Essa, I will lift up. I don't need your help. I don't need your help to lift up a toast, a celebration. But when Rachmana Litzlan, a person is in a state of mourning, in a state of tsar, and he needs to find comfort, and he needs help, he needs sympathy, then you don't take it. Someone gives it to you. So the bracha is, and let's take those two psukim, Kos Yeshua's Esa, you take it yourself. Verse Tenu Sheichel Oivet. So the Reish Rav is a Jewish that the Nazir, after he abstains from Yain for 30 days, or whatever his term of Nazirus is, that's very hard work. Hard work to deny yourself the pleasures of this world. So it says, you've done it, you've gone through a period of life where you were Poiresh. The Torah gives you a bracha. You're a success. I give you bracha v'achar kein for the rest of your life. Yishteh. No one should ever go and give you wine. For the rest of your life, when you drink wine, you should take it yourself. Meaning, you should only have good things in your life. You should never have to suffer a situation where wine will be given to you, where someone's going to have to tenu. The point is, it should never be a tenu, it should always be a kos Yeshua's Esa. Now you take that one step further, and let's go to the Pesach Seder. On the Pesach Seder, there's a very big hakpada that a person should not pour his own wine. That someone should pour the wine for you. So you would say, doesn't make sense. The four cups of Geula, four cups that you drink on Pesach are the arba l'shanis of Geula. They are salvation. Salvation. So the answer is, that's not necessarily so. If you study the Haggadah, everything in the Haggadah is bittersweet. Mitzad Echad, we have matzah, chirus. But mitzad sheni, we have the morar. Mitchila oivdi avodah zorah hayavos sein maschil bignus umesayim b'shvach. Even matzah, there are many matzah davar shayim alav blechem shayim alav dvar harbe. There are elements in matzah which are sad, and there are parts of matzah that's slave bread, bread used for feed slaves. Mitzat sheni tzchipazayim. Everything about the seder is bitter sweet. Therefore, even in the drinking of wine, which is simcha, geula, but the wine is served to you as a mourner, because we because of Pesach night. It's also the night of Pesach corresponds to Tisha B'Av. This first night of the Seder is the night of Tisha B'Av. We eat eggs. We left Mitzrayim prematurely. Because we left Mitzrayim before 400 years, we have to suffer the four Golios until Mashiach comes. There is an element of sadness in the Haggadah, in the Seder, that's undeniable. The encyclopedias on this, the degree of sadness that is synthesized with the simcha of the geula, and that is expressed in everything we do. So it fits very well with this idea from the Reish Roth, is that there's something called tenu sheicha l'oived, and oived is given yayin. There's a concept of simcha of kois yeshua's essa, I take the wine myself. There's a bracha of the nazir, you abstain from the good things in this world, I'll give you a bracha yishte hanazir yayin, and the night of the seder, the two come together because there is simcha and aveilus taking place together.
So also, I mean, the four cups of wine connected to Lashonas HaGula, but why does it have to be wine? That's why I believe it's the Shulchan Aruch who says it's connected to four times. It says Kos Paro B'Yadi in reference to the
Saramashkim.
The Saramashkim, he says the word over there, it says the word Kos four times. Raskara Kos Al Kaf Paro, right? Four times. And I think it's the Shulchan Aruch who makes that lingua there.
Okay. So here we have this. Okay, this idea. Okay, the amolo lo yiskor. Okay. Okay. Now there is one interesting medrash. Let me just see where it is. I thought it was here. Just give me one moment, please. Parrot Lamed Aleph. Okay, I don't even know where it is. Let me try to find it. Okay, the Medrash says something along the lines that there are four branches of Chachma. It's got to be here somewhere. Really can't find it. Where did I see it then? Strange. Oh, here it is. Okay. This is something which is totally new to me. It's not much of a chiddush, but okay. Here is what it says. Hadas mischalekes be'arba chalokim. Fascinating medrash. Bamid Barabo. Knowledge is broken up into four parts. Four parts. What do you mean four parts of knowledge? Shtayim b'shtei hakloyos. In the eyes of Chazal, there are two different forms of knowledge in the two kidneys. Each one of the kidneys provides a chokhma. V'chelik echad bapeh. A third branch is in the mouth. The chelik echad balev, and the fourth is in the heart. Okay, so four different sources of knowledge in a human being. Two kidneys, we know that the kloyos, they provide advice. The kloyos are yoyatzos. We will wonder, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create two kidneys? Today, doctors tell us you can survive with one kidney. I mean, there are people that donate kidneys. So, whatever it is, but it seems that, I guess, you have to have a balance of those two sides. Every question, always there are two sides. That's how Chazal look at the kidneys. And then the pad, the mouth, why is the mouth, I'm not sure why the mouth is a branch of Chachma. And then there's a different form of Chachma, which obviously we can relate to is intuition, is the heart. I guess maybe the peh is more, I'm not sure, but it's something to think about. The kidneys are giving you different arguments, yes and no. The heart is your gut feeling, right? The intuition, what you really think it should be. And the pair maybe is some type of practical knowledge where you have to go forward with. So the Gemara in the Medrash actually quotes Psukim. It quotes Psukim to support this idea. For example, the Pasuk in Iyov says, Pasuk Iyov Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Mi Shas Betuchos Chochma. Who is the one that put Betuchos? Betuchos means the klois, another word for the kidneys. Chochma. Who is the one that put in the kidneys wisdom? So from this Pasuk we learn that the kidneys possess wisdom. Okay, Pasuk in Tehillim says, Uvisosum chokhma todieni. Sosum refers to what's concealed deep down within. According to the Medrash, the sosum refers to the heart. The heart has chokhma, and the chelik of chokhma in the peh is the pasuk in Tehillim as well. P, the mouth yedaber chokhmas. So according to the Medrash, we've collected three psukim in Tanakh. One in Iyov, two in Tehillim, which clearly identify Chochma with four different parts of the body. Now, along comes the Medrash and says, "Uchnegdon nosnu chachamim shir l'shichus bi'arba revi'os yayin chai shehein arba koisos." Why did Chazal tell us that the shir of yayin is a revi'os? Now we know it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Chazal said that the reason why the shir for kiddush, anytime you did davar shebekedusha, the shir is a revi'os. What is a revi'os? A revi'os of a loig. A loig was a basic measure in ancient times, time of the Torah, that is a standard measure. And Chazal have taken this log and cut it into four quarters. A revius. What's a revius? So is this some modern, today they tell us it's somewhere between 2.9 ounces to, let's say, 5 ounces, whatever it is. What? No, that's not how much you have to drink. But the amount that the kois has to possess is a revius. The amount that you have to drink to be yotze kiddush, to make a bracha chorin to be yotze, that's a shaila. Is it malay lugmav? Is it rov revius? Is it rov hakois? That's another shaila. But the amount the kois, all chol hades, you're not allowed to make a bracha on a kois shal bracha unless you have a revius. What the shir is, that's a subject of debate. Let's say it's 2.9 ounces, according to Rav Moshe, for a drabonon, a very small amount, 2.9 ounces. But there's something called a revius halig, a revius. Why did Chazal break it? Why does Allah Almosh Mesinai a revius, not a shlishis, not a chatzi loig, not a whole loig? What's the magic number? The answer is because coming to allude to us an amazing idea. This is an amazing marriage. Is simple because since Chokhma in Tanakh has four components, there are two kidneys, there is one heart, and there's one pair. Each one of these represents, I don't know what the depth of this means, the different form a form of knowledge, an argument, something which the person is always conflicted. We all know that. When you ever have to make a decision in life, you're conflicted. What's the conflict? What are you feeling? Chazal is saying the conflict can be broken down into four parts. What do psychologists say about this? It's a new idea. This is what it says in the Medrash. I'm not making this up. A person's conflicted. There are four things that are pulling him in different directions. The peh, whatever that represents, is telling him this is what you should do. The leif is telling you no, do something different. And then there are the kidneys. There are two kidneys presenting arguments to do something different. So that is what is yayin. So we mentioned yayin is compared to the two different types, the two different constellations, which are mutually exclusive. One you'll never see in the sky. One with one, both them together, because the way the world is, these two cannot possibly be the Kima and the Akraf, whatever they are. It cannot possibly be at the same time in the sky. Same thing. For the four wine, as you drink a little bit of wine, you knock out each one of these four bodies of knowledge. When you drink the first cup of wine, koisechad, you lose one quarter of your knowledge. Now, it doesn't say exactly which one goes first. Which one of the four does the first kidney go? The second kidney go? Does the peg go? Does the heart go? Shasa koishir yasa shnei chalak midayta. Shasa shlishas koishas yasa shloisha chalak midayta. V'libay? V'libay mitarof. Miad humaska. So it says, you know, but one thing it does say, it says over here, and I take it back. It says, I think the first two are the kidneys. It appears the first two are the kidneys. The kidneys go. And Valiboy, the third takes away your heart, and your mouth babbles nonsense. I'm not exactly sure, whatever. But basically, it says that that's why there are four cups of wine. The four cups of wine, the revius is a whole quarter of a whole. Each portion adds up to the sum of a revius to knock out the four different bodies of parts of knowledge. And I think it doesn't say this, but I think we can understand more of an appreciation of now why we have four cups of wine at the Seder. The four cups of wine at the Seder, we are drinking yayin at the Seder to express our cheres. So the complete expression of yayin, according to Chazal, yayin is always to be understood keneged das. It sounds like a Purim type of drasha, that the nichnas yayin, Purim is the bittel chayiv adam levasume bipuraya ad delo yoda. Right? When you drink wine, you lose your knowledge. Why? So Chazal say you have to recognize tachlis ha'idia sheneda sheloneda. The purpose of knowledge is to know that you don't know. The more you know, the more you know that you do not know. So on Purim, that's certainly so. On Purim, we think we know what's going on. We see Esther was abducted. We see Haman rise to power. We see things are not going so well. We think we know everything. We don't know nothing. Know nothing. Have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all you have to have. Everything can work out for your best. Pesach, to some degree, is the same idea. Gula. The purpose, the whole yisod, what is Pesach all about? Emunah. Everyone, the first thing you learn in Pesach is Avraham Avinu. What do you teach? Vigata Levincha. Summarize the entire Haggadah in one word. Emunah. Every Haggadah says the same thing. This is what Pesach is all about: is to teach children, the next generation, Emunah in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Emunah. You don't have to have any das. Das. Don't outsmart yourself. Be mevatel your das. So to some degree, on Pesach, there's even more of a darga of chayif adam levasune bepuraya ad lo yoda, or at least it's a parallel on Pesach to what we do on Purim. After we have this understanding of this fascinating medrash, knowledge is broken into four parts: two kidneys, heart, and the peh. This is not being made up. They're psukim to support the four different parts of knowledge. As why is Chazal halacha lemosh Sinai wine broken up into a revius? Because revius is one part of four parts make up one sum, one log. Why? Because knowledge, take the other medish, yayin and das don't mix. There's no such thing. If there's yayin, there's no das. If there's das, there's no yayin. So if you're going to take away knowledge, and you have four parts to knowledge, you have to take away the knowledge in four parts. Revius, 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 revius. The seder is emunah. When you drink the four cups of wine, you're going further in your quest to reach the goal of one revius, to be makir, emunah pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not to outsmart ourselves by thinking that we know better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Ches, Pesach Picha Le'ilim El Din Kol B'nei Chalof. Here the pasuk is addressing the Dayanim, or Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo's mother, Vashem is addressing Shlomo HaMelech. Open up your mouth to the Elim, to the mute. Elim here does not necessarily mean the deaf, it means a person that is does not know what to argue. Every person should get a defense lawyer. You have to have someone should argue your case, El Din, to the judgment, Kol B'nei Chalof. It's a very interesting term, refers to people who are Yisoimim. Why are orphans called Chalof? Their hope is gone. Their support has passed. Chalof comes from Chalipin. Kechaloim Yo'uf. It's same similar word, yo'uf, there just to pay, but it means that it's their support, their hope has passed from the world. They have no one to help them. For these people, you, the judge, have an obligation to open up your mouth and provide to them a legal argument. Let's see the Mesudas Pasaches, Pesach Picha, Al Tishta Hayayin, do not drink too much wine, V'tiyah Bedas Miyushaves, and therefore by not drinking wine you'll be Bedas Miyushaves, U'Pesach Picha Ba'avur Ha'ilem, and therefore you'll be able to open up your mouth and argue Ba'ilem, Ratzalema, Im Miyav Oledin, V'yiyah Kilim, a person comes to court and is an Ilim, doesn't know what to say, L'ba L'bli Das L'sadeh Ta'anoysav, Atah, you the judge, you must be at your best, top of your game, in order to come to his defense. It's one thing if you just have to make, you have to rubber stamp someone else's decision. So you can come in semi-drunk. What's the big deal? You just have to rubber stamp someone's decision. When you come into court and you realize that someone, that the prosecutor is not giving the defendant a fair trial, then you, the judge, have an obligation to step up and to go alone argue his case. Psach picha bavuroi lahastir tainosav, to arrange his arguments. Eldin gam psach picha eldin kol habonim hasichlim, the foolish children. Okay, the mitzvah is something different than what I told you. Ha-machlifim divrayim imash shebelibam. People here refers to b'nei chaloif, means the foolish people. I told you a different interpretation. We'll come back to that in a moment. That's what the Midrash says. But according to the pshat, you, the judge, shall open up your mouth on behalf of people who say they switch their words. They're not clear. Ha-machlifim divrayim imash shebelibam. They exchange their words for what's really in their hearts, but words sichlus, due to their foolishness. Upsach picha lahayash lehiyash lashiram el hakavon hanirza. Open up your mouth to guide them on the proper path. Lohem kasher yuuvis lasos lishpoit tzedek, like you should desire to do. Kasher yuuvis lasos lishpoit tzedek, a righteous judge would want to do. Lohitzi hadin lamita, as desirable for a judge to bring forth the din lamita according to what is correct. Let's the pasuk test. Psach picha, open up your mouth. Shifat tzedek, judge with righteousness, the din oni the evyon, and judge shifat tzedek. Shifat goes back on the end of the pasuk as well. Shifat, it's like as if it says shifat the din oni the evyon. Let's see the mitzudos psach picha bedrishos v'chakirois. Open up your mouth, make a thorough investigation, interrogation. V'shafat tzedek v'don din oni the evyon v'lo yipokeid mehem mishpatam. Do not deny from the oni the evyon there. Mishpatam, their day in court, their mishpat ba'avur chulshasam, due to their weakness, im chodzek baldinam, with a baldin who is more powerful than they. Okay, now, there's just come one interesting chazal. Everyone knows this chazal. This is the makor, the source of a well-known halacha, of we argue on behalf Tanina, let me just find you the exact words. I'll tell you the exact words. What's the expression? You're right, what's the expression? Taninan. Okay, I forgot the words of Chazal, but the idea is, the Gemara gives a couple of examples. A person comes in and says, Prusbel. A Malve comes to collect his choif. A Malve comes after the year of Shemitah. V'imbo ha-Malve ligvois ha-Schoiva b'Shvius. It's after Shemitah has passed. And the Malva comes to court and says, this so-and-so, he owes me a lot of money. The ain loy prusbel. And the litigant, the defendant, says, doesn't have anything. Neman loymer prusbel hoya liva ovat. So the halacha is, if the defendant were to say, I had a prusbel, but I lost it. So what would the halacha be? You come to court, you owe me $1,000. So what does he say? So he says, I'm sorry, the other way around. So the Nitva says, sorry buddy, too bad for you. It's Shemitah. This year is a Shemitah year, right? We have to make a Shpuzbul by the end of the year. Too bad for you. Shemitah has passed, so I borrowed from you $1,000,000, but sorry buddy, Shemitah has passed, I'm not paying you one penny. So the person stands there, the Malva is stunned. What am I going to do? I just lost $1,000,000. What am I going to tell my wife? What's going to be when I go home today? So Bezdin sees that there's going to be a big, big problem. The halach is, Bezdin is allowed to say, sir, maybe you have a prusbel, and you lost it. The dayan is mechuyev to go and present the argument on his behalf. So if the person does not, v'im hu ba'atzmo lo yodea lito in zeh, the Rosh HaBezdin has an obligation to say, maybe you had a prusbel. Shema prusbel hoyu l'chova avat. Vim omar kain. And if the Malva says yes, oh, that's a neman. Therefore, the loiva has to pay you back your $1,000,000. Rahai God, the Gemara there says, that's pshat in this pasuk, psach Picha Le'ilim. When a person comes to court and is about to lose a lot of money, and the Dayan knows that there's a very simple legal argument he can make which would spare him the loss, the Dayan has an obligation to do so based upon this pasuk. And then the Gemara gives another example of a woman who gets married. Man marries a woman, he promised to pay her 200 zuzos of psula. And then he comes to court and he says, this woman, she does not have the psulim. She is not a psula, she is a ba'ula. And therefore I want to divorce her, I'm not giving her the ksuba. And the woman is stunned, she has nothing what to say. So the halach is, the dayan, the bezin, can tell the woman, you should say, is it possible maybe that you were nenas, that a man had relations with you against your will, and that's why you're lacking the psulim? And in that situation you would be believed. So in Echnami, the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Echnami that you tine on their behalf to fulfill within this pasuk of Psach Picha Le'ilim. Open your mouth for a person that does not realize that he has an argument which he can win in court. Okay, one last chazal I forgot to mention is the previous pasuk of Tunu Sheikh Al-Oved V'yayin Lamar Nefesh. This is the makar for halacha that one of the dalad misos besin, the person being taken out to his execution, the Gemara says, you give him wine. Not only do you give him wine, you add in some sedatives. Ikarit Shalavayna, in order to dull his senses. Tani Tana Kami Rabbi Yochanan. This is Gemara Masechet Brachos Daf Nun Zayin. Kol. No, I'm sorry. I said the wrong Gemara. I'm sorry. Gemara in Sanhedrin. In Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel. Omar B'chi Bar Ravashi Omar Avchista Hayotzei Leharig. A person that's been taken out to his execution. Mashkin Oisoi Kuret Shalavoyin Bekois Shal Yayin. We give him a kernel, a particle of Lavoina in a cup of wine. Kadesh Taraf Daita, he should not know what's happening to him. In order to dull the senses, Shanemar, Tanu Sheikh al Oivid Vyayan Lamarinev. I guess this was the predecessor to anesthesia. That he should not realize, he should dull his eyes. So this Chazal, he has here a very long footnote. From this we learn about certain degrees of Inui Hadin. Okay, it's a very interesting halacha. Inyadin typically means that you don't delay a person's judgment. Once the person has been convicted to die, bezin paskin tischayev misa, so kill him right away. Don't let, and then let him sit on death row for years. Okay, in the system of justice we have today, so a person's on death row, he can sit for years until they finally execute him. It's not necessarily wrong, because during that time there are appeals, so it's nothing really. I don't know how halacha views the American system of justice. It's not the end until the very end. But according to halacha, once it's been a point where it's a point beyond return, there's no reasonable reason why there should be any reversal of the halacha. He must be put to death immediately. And that's called Inui Hadin. This is an extension of Inui Hadin. When a person is being executed, don't rub it into him. Don't let him even see what's happening to him. He should be put out of his misery based upon this pasuk. Tanu Sheikhar Lo'ivet. A person that's on the way out, put him out of his misery.
We say Machai when we drink.
It should not be one of the reasons. It should not be like Misa Spezin, where you're putting him out. Another example the Gemara gives is let's say the Hafta, this is Parsha. Parsha's Kedoshim. The Hafta L'Reacha K'moicha Beror Lo Misa Yofe. One of they when they kill a person, they put him exactly 3 kaimas. So that it should not be too disgusting. His death should not be b'derech nivul. On the other hand, they don't put him too low. They don't throw him off a roof of too low because he might not die quickly. All right, so these are different examples, but it's a lot of it is based on Tanu Sheikh Olin. Okay, so this concludes the parak until Eishes Chayil. And Amir Tashem, tomorrow we wind down the last 22 psukim, the most famous part of Mishlei Eishes Chayil. Okay, in Mircha, I don't think it'll take more than a week to finish Eishes Chayil, probably even less. And then... They can come if they want. I don't know if they're going to want to hear what I have to say. Just joking. Okay, Amir Hashem. After we finish this, we're going to start the Chamesh Megillos. Now I have a real dilemma. I don't know yet what I'm going to do because I really want to try to do the Megillos that I'm in Yoni Diyoma. So the one that we will be Yoni Diyoma would be Rus. But it's, I don't know if it's kedai to learn a few psukim by the time we get to Shavuos. So I was thinking more of learning Eicha, but it's not really good to start Eicha before Shavuos. So I'm still conflicted. So let me think about it. We'll see. But Mirat Hashem, we're going to start the Chumash Megillos very soon. And if anyone would like to contribute towards the cost of getting the Chumash Megillos, please let me know. I'm going to try to buy 20 volumes of the Chumash Megillos. I have to decide on which volume I want to get. I really, there's one very good one. I want to get something better than this. I'll see if I can get it for a reasonable price. All right, we'll stop here.